ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, think about it. Wherever the guy goes, he's being warned. Don't go there, man. Trouble awaits you in Jerusalem. To me, that's a red flag. Don't go, right? Stop. But not Paul. He knew where he was to go. He knew what he was to do. And he knew whatever came his way, God would see him through. He trusted in the Lord, even if it would cost him his life. And you know, it's easy to get distracted again or get discouraged. But Paul said he wanted to finish his race with joy. And think about it. It's going to be bad when you get to Jerusalem. Well, knowing that, how could he finish the race with joy? Because he knew the Lord had already warned him. He's serving the Lord. His joy was in the Lord, not in the circumstances that he was going to face. And I think that's for us too. Difficulties are going to come our way, but it could rob us of the joy if we don't know that the Lord is in it. He's doing something. Do I always understand what he is doing? I don't. I really don't. But I know who he is. I know his character. And so I can rest in that. Growing up as a kid, I didn't always know what my parents were doing. I knew that they took care of me because I trusted in them. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. Can you trust me no matter what? And Paul said, hey, yeah, I can do that. None of these things are going to move me. I know where I'm going. I know what's ahead of me. I know what awaits me. And I'm going to go there with joy because my joy is in him. It's not easy. Paul said you have to run the race with endurance, the race that's set before us. You have to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There you go. You want confidence in this race? Jesus, it was there when the race started, and he will see you home at the finish line when it ends. Wow, that is awesome. I have my security in Christ. He began my faith, and he will see me through to the very end when he takes me home to glory. I like that. And it's not just a select group of Christians or believers back in that day. Paul says, let us run. We have to run with endurance. Now, again, it's easy to get discouraged because of things we did in the past or things that are going on. But Paul in Philippians 3 said, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. Are we as Christians going to get discouraged? Yes. Can we get depressed? Absolutely. The thing we have to remember is that we haven't already attained. We're still growing. We're still maturing. And that's a lifelong process. Paul said, look, I'm not already perfected. I haven't already attained what I'm gonna be. But he said, I press on. I'll tell you, racing, that's what you do. When you're going long distances, you got to press on. I haven't already attained the finish line yet, but I'm getting there. I haven't already perfected what I want to do. I want my times to be faster. For us as Christians, we haven't already attained. We're not already perfected, but we have to press on. We can't let those things that are behind us hold us back. And we do that at times. Yes, in a positional sense, we're already perfected because God's finished the work. But in a positional sense, on a day-to-day basis, God is still working in us. I mean, if this was the finished product, I'm not happy, and you guys shouldn't be happy with me either. And I'm not happy with you. We got ways to go. That's the wonderful thing. God says, I'm beginning a work in you. I'm going to finish the work in you. Praise God. He's still working. It's not done. And I love what Paul says. You know, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I cannot do anything about the past, but I can reach forward. I can keep my eyes on Jesus. And that's what we need to do. I'm so thankful that God said I can move on. I can go forward. I don't have to live in the past. Now, I guess if you're into psychiatry and psychology, sorry, I don't mean to offend you. But the past is the whole reason they're in existence. Let's go back to your past. Let's relive those things. Paul says, hey, forget about it. Those things are behind. I'm moving forward to the upward call. Do you see how refreshing that is? I don't want to live in the past. I can learn from the past, but I don't want to live there. And that's important for us. And it's a battle. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but just one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. It's a race, it's a fight, it's a battle. And so we need to be ready. We need to be in the Word. And, you know, that's really the first point I want to talk about. And we talked a little bit about it last week. But this could be good and bad. The first thing is, for our spiritual growth, is the Word of God. You have to be in the Bible, reading it, studying it, being taught the things of God. But then you have to apply it. See, what good is information if you don't apply it? It's meaningless. So you have to take what God is showing you and apply it to my life. For instance, with the whole leaf gutter thing, God had shown me, you know, when they come in with that high price and they bring it down, forget about it. If that's what happens, don't sign it, anything. I could have listened, or I could have just rejected what God was showing me. And then my wife would have killed me. The thing is, God has what's best for our lives. So we need to listen to Him. And think about the warnings that are given to us in this world. I mean, you know, fire trucks and police cars, you know, they had to change the sound of their sirens because people just got used to it. They didn't move anymore. Tornado warnings. When there's a tornado warning, what do people do? They get their iPhone out and they go look to find the tornado, right? Is that what the warning's for? Hey guys, get your iPhones out. No, it's to go find shelter. But we get so used to it because maybe nothing bad happened at that time. Oh, it's just another warning. They keep giving these warnings. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here. And sometimes we do that with our own lives. Oh, well, nothing happened to me when I did that. So, you know, God must approve of it. It must be okay. We do that and do that and do that. Before long, all of a sudden, something happens. God already warned us. We just didn't listen. And eventually, we're going to have to pay the consequences. You know, think about some of these warning labels. Because it's amazing what people have to put on their products today. I just don't think they should buy these products if these have to be on there. This was a label on a baby stroller. Remove child before folding. All right, if you have to be told that, you probably shouldn't have children. Am I right? I mean, think about it. I can't get this thing closed. Come on. Oh, there's a child in it. Great. For all of you fishermen, this is a warning. A brass fishing lure with a three-pronged hook on the end warns this: harmful if swallowed. You should not be fishing. If you're putting this in your mouth, this is for the fish. It's harmful for them too. But what? I don't even know why you need that. A scooter for children warns this product moves when used. It's a scooter. I don't know. But, all right. A flushable toilet brush warns do not use for personal hygiene. You know, I don't want to go visit anyone anymore. I don't know. A digital thermometer that can be used to take a person's temperature several different ways warns this. Once used rectally, the thermometer should not be used orally. Yeah, come on. This is a Three Stooges routine for me. A household iron warns users, never iron clothes while they're being worn. Yeah, that would... A label on a bottle of drain cleaner warns this. If you do not understand or cannot read, all directions, cautions, and warnings, do not use this product. If you can't read... I don't know, but anyway. Cardboard car sunshield that keeps sun off the dashboard warns, do not drive with sunshield in place. I love that one. Oh, there's another guy with the sunshield in. Look at him all over. Anyway, here's the thing. As we read God's word, as we allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the things of God, what happens is we grow. We will know what is accursed and what is not. We'll know what to stay away from and what we could partake of. You know, David said in Psalm 119, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. There it is. You know, it's in our hearts. We've read God's word. And as we're getting involved in things that we shouldn't, the Holy Spirit shows us, don't go down that path. Don't do that. And, you know, it's not always easy. And the word of God is more than just a book, guys. It's Paul said that it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That's God's word. It's opened up by God's spirit. And it's powerful enough, it's sharp enough to cut right to the heart of the matter. It works on our conscience or what we desire. It gets them in line with God. And that's what we're doing. You know, we have our own ideas. That flesh is there trying to draw us. And then God's word is trying to draw us in line with what he wants us to do. It makes us in tune with God. And everything is open to him. There's nothing hidden. As we will see as we look at the life of Achan. He thought his sin was hidden. The accursed things that he took, no one saw. They were buried. God saw. God knew. Nothing is hidden. So as you look at the scriptures, as you study the lives of the men and women who walked with God, those even who struggled in their walk, those who blew it, we can learn from them and grow in our relationship with God. Just by allowing the word of God opened up by the Spirit of God to guide us in our lives. Again, Paul in Romans 15:4 said, whatever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. The witnesses from the Scriptures that we can learn from. And this one goes along with our Bible reading and studying and applying. And that's prayer. As we pray, as we seek the Lord, he's going to give us direction. He's going to give us discernment. You know, it's interesting because I've heard people tell me, you know, that the Lord is allowing them to do something that is contrary to his word. Does God ever say yes to things that are contrary to his word? No, never. Because then how do we know what we can do and can't do? I got a special dispensation? No, you didn't. And prayer is a two-way communication with God. We speak to God, we cry out to him, he answers our heart's cry, he shows us what to do, he speaks to us. In fact, in Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord said, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Oh, I like that. You know what? As you're reading the Word of God, as you're praying, God is showing you things that you didn't know before. And primarily what he's showing you is what's in your heart. What needs to change? And he does that many times by bringing people into your life. And, you know, people go, "Oh, I'm just praying for more patience." And then, you know, God brings, like, the crankiest, meanest person into your life. "God, what are you doing?" "You wanted more patience. There you go. Love them." You see, God's working on us. We think God's word is for everyone else because we're good. But no, it's for all of us. We grow and learn. And so we need to listen to him and allow God to direct us away from the accursed things and direct us to those things that are going to bless us and bless others. And this third one, word of God, prayer, this one I think is really, really important. Some don't see it as important today, but I truly believe it is. And, you know, years ago, I've said this before, you know, I close the message, close my eyes and pray and open my eyes. And when I'm done, everyone's gone. I'm like, what happened? You know, now I got to flicker the lights to get people to leave the church. That's a good thing because it's called fellowship. It's getting to know each other. You know, the reason we have food in back is not to feed you. It's for fellowship. It's amazing. People with a cup of coffee or a cookie or whatever is back there. They grab it. They start talking. That's so, so important because we encourage each other. We edify each other. We build each other up. We encourage each other in the faith. And let's face it, we all go through difficult times. And isn't it wonderful to have a brother or sister in the Lord who comes alongside to encourage you? Absolutely. Also, when none of us are perfect, sometimes we need to be corrected. That's just the way it is. Here's the thing. When we're not walking with God, we tend to fellowship with unbelievers. I think, well, why? Because they won't say we're doing wrong. They'll just agree, yeah, what you're doing is right. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Absolutely. It will pull you down farther and farther and farther. We need to pay attention. You know, our fellowship is to be with believers. And I'm not saying you can't fellowship or be with unbelievers. Of course we are. We're supposed to share the love of Christ with them. But I'm talking about counsel here. That intimate relationship with unbelievers, because what happens is they're going to pull you down. And there's enough scriptures that talk about that. Don't neglect fellowship with unbelievers, but be careful. Be careful. So be in the Word, be in prayer, be in fellowship with other believers, and be careful of false or unhealthy doctrine. And we have so many blessings with the internet and, you know, just being able to access so much Christian material. But we also have access to so much unhealthy doctrine. And it will hinder your spiritual growth. Not might. Think about it. If you fed your physical body with unhealthy food, it's going to affect you, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the same is true with unhealthy or false teaching. As you continue taking in false teaching, unhealthy doctrine, it will corrupt you spiritually speaking. And it will be seen in your life, the things you say, the things you do. And God over and over and over again warns us of this. Jesus warns us in the last days, there's going to be many false prophets and there's going to be deception out there. Now, we don't obviously think we're being deceived when we're hearing these things. We think they're right on. But when you compare them to the Word of God, yeah, it's doesn't fit. You know, Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Stick with the healthy doctrine, the sound doctrine, because the Word of God will expose false doctrine and false teaching. It'll keep you from the accursed things, which is obviously so important. So, the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, good teaching. Don't stay away from the false teaching and false teachers. And the last one is sin. Save the big one for the last one. Sin will hinder your spiritual growth in the Lord. If you do things that are wrong and you know they're wrong and there's no conviction, something's wrong. But what happens is we feel the conviction at first. But then we harden ourselves to what God is saying. And we harden ourselves. And pretty soon that area becomes dead. But God has a surgical instrument. It's called the Word of God that can cut away that hardness and expose us again to the things of God. We have to be careful. You know, repent, get right with the Lord, or we're going to be in trouble. So how do we grow? How do we stay away from these accursed things? Well, I mean, we looked at these. Be in the Word of God and study the Word of God and apply the Word of God to your life. That's the key. Be in prayer and listen to what God is showing you so that you can walk accordingly. Fellowship with other believers to help you in your walk by encouraging each other and even correcting each other if needed. Avoid false teachers and false teaching because it's going to hinder your growth in the Lord. And don't live in sin. If you are in sin, you confess it and then walk accordingly. You know, Peter said, in 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Peter's not saying you can lose your salvation. These people came close to salvation. They knew the way of truth. They heard the gospel message presented to them, but they were drawn back to the accursed things. We need to go on, as Peter said in verses 14 through 18 of 2 Peter 3, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all the epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So Peter is warning us. Paul has warned us. Jesus warned us. The scriptures warn us to stay away from accursed things. Don't fall away from the steadfastness you have in the faith. Don't be led astray. Keep your eyes on Jesus, guys. There's going to be so many distractions. I mean, just go to a mall. I mean, I love my wife dearly, but I'm telling you what, I don't like shopping with her because she's got to look at everything. I go in, I need, you know, this, I need that. Boom, 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 done. That's just me. But isn't it easy to get distracted? It is. Be careful. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We spent 2 weeks, we got one more week looking at destroying fortresses. You know, we looked at the essentials for victory, obedience to God's word, keep yourselves from accursed things. And next week we're going to be looking at the victory. And understand that victory is always in Jesus. It's never apart from him. We can't do it on our own. We think we can, you know, put this program, do this, this many steps, whatever. No, it's Jesus. He gives us the strength, empowered by the Spirit of God as we read the Word of God and take it into our lives and apply it and grow. It's a wonderful walk. But the warning is, avoid the accursed things. Don't go down that path. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for your word and the warning, Lord, because we do need that warning. And Lord, I just pray that each of us would apply that to our lives, that we learn those lessons and we draw close to you, because throughout our life we're going to be tempted. But Lord, you are testing our faith as well. And I just pray we surrender to you all the days of our life. If anyone is struggling here this morning, Lord, just speak to their hearts and encourage them and draw them close. And for all of us, Lord, help us to walk worthy of that high calling by which we've been called. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.